Psalm 63, we're going to be beginning a short sermon series this week in the Psalms, looking at what I am calling holy discontentment. And we're going to see that from a number of different angles in the Psalm. Tonight, looking at this Psalm of David, the inscription says it was written when he was in the wilderness of Judah. So let's give our attention to the reading of God's inspired and holy word, beginning in verse 1. O God, you are my God. Earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh faints for you, as in a dry and weary land where there is no water. So I have looked upon you in the sanctuary, beholding your power and glory. Because your steadfast love is better than life, my lips will praise you. So I will bless you as long as I live. In your name I will lift up my hands. My soul will be satisfied as with fat and rich food, and my mouth will praise you with joyful lips when I remember you upon my bed and meditate on you in the watches of the night. For you have been my help, and in the shadow of your wings I sing for joy. My soul clings to you. Your right hand upholds me. But those who seek to destroy my life shall go down into the depths of the earth. They shall be given over to the power of the sword. They shall be a portion for jackals. But the king shall rejoice in God. All who swear by him shall exult, for the mouths of liars will be stopped. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you for this inspired prayer of David. We recognize that this is your word, Lord, and that you have great things to show us and to teach us here. And as we come to your word, God, we pray that you would give us attentive minds and that you would give us warm hearts, and that you would incline our wills towards what we are seeing here in this text. We pray, God, that you would use this psalm to grow within us holy longings for you. In Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen. The title of my sermon series is intentionally provocative, Holy Discontentment. The two words don't seem to fit together. Holy means something that is pleasing to God. But can discontentment ever be pleasing to God? The Shorter Catechism rightly explains that the 10th commandment, thou shalt not covet, forbids all discontentment with our own estates, envying or grieving at the good of our neighbor. Therefore, we might be tempted to conclude that discontentment cannot be, in any sense, holy. But it's not that simple. The 10th commandment is forbidding what we could call man-centered discontentment. I look at your house or your wife or your credentials, and I am enviously dissatisfied with my own. It's called covetousness. It's sin. But the scriptures reveal a kind of discontentment that is not focused upon man. It's focused upon God. A God-centered discontent. It's a dissatisfaction of soul that is oriented toward the Lord. It's holy. And nowhere do we see this God-directed discontentment more than in the Psalms. The Psalter reveals the complex, multifaceted expression of the godly soul. And what we find over and again is that the godly soul is one that is longing, one that has deep longings, longings that reveal an inward dissatisfaction. That's what we see with David here. David is the one who penned Psalm 63, and David is in the wilderness. He's running from his enemies. We don't know the exact context here, whether it's Saul or Absalom, but David is in a hard place. He speaks of his enemies in verses 9 through 11. And in his distress, he is crying out to God. His prayer is pervaded with a restlessness, but not the kind of restlessness we probably would expect. He's not complaining about the desert heat. He's not envying his enemies who have it so good. His discontent is centered upon God. He's not satisfied with his present spiritual condition. And so he is longing. He's longing after God. Now, there's a number of important lessons for us to learn here. The first is this, that intense desire for God drives the pursuit of God. Intense desire for God drives the pursuit of God. David begins by expressing his passionate pursuit of God. Verse 1, "Oh God, you are my God. Earnestly I seek you." Is this strong language? It could be translated, "Desperately I seek you," or "Wholeheartedly I seek you." David is desperate for God. He's not seeking after political power from God. He's not seeking after physical provision from God. He's not seeking after military victory from God. He's not seeking anything from God. David wants God himself. He wants God. He knows that God alone can satisfy the depths of his soul, and so he is after God. Do you ever pray like this? Not seeking things from God, but seeking God himself. Do you ever come before God with a no strings attached, simple desire just to be with God, just because you want to know God? You're not coming before God because you need something other than Him. You just want Him. Tonight, we have asked God for many different things, and that is good, friends. It is good to ask God for things. But the heart of prayer is not the pursuit of things from God. The heart of prayer is the pursuit of God Himself. The pursuit of God Himself. Imagine for a moment if my boys, their relationship with me consisted of nothing but them just coming to me and asking for things. What would you say about our relationship? They come to me, they ask for what they want, I give it to them. When they need something, they come to me, and that's it. No other relationship besides that. You'd say, well, that's an incredibly unhealthy relationship. Incredibly unhealthy. Now, I, as a father, love to give things to my sons, and I love when they ask me for things, when they're looking to Dad in a time of need. That's wonderful. It's good to ask for things from God. But the heart of prayer is not asking for things. The heart of prayer is pursuing God Himself. And that's what David is doing here. Prayer is communion with God. It is a seeking after Him. What is it that drives this earnest pursuit? It's intense desire. David's pursuit of God is the result of a holy dissatisfaction. See that in verse 1. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh, it faints for you, as in a dry and weary land where there is no water. He's expressing soul thirst. He's expressing a spiritual yearning that is so strong, it is manifesting itself bodily. It's manifesting itself physically. He's so longing for God that his body itself is yearning, is craving, is reaching out. God is the object of David's desperate longing. David desires God, and so David is seeking after God. And here's what we need to see, friends. We will never seek God earnestly until we desire Him intensely. We'll never seek Him earnestly until we desire Him intensely. If we're satisfied with our present spiritual condition, we will not seek after more. If we're satisfied with our present experience and knowledge of God, we will not seek after more. Earnest pursuit of God is always the result of a holy dissatisfaction. And that's what David has here. And that's what originally drew me to the subject of holy discontentment. There's nothing that I can think of that I desire more for us as a church than that we would be a people who are earnestly, wholeheartedly, desperately seeking after God. But such passionate pursuit doesn't just come out of thin air. It begins with soul thirst. You don't desperately seek after a fresh stream unless you are parched in the desert. Thirst is the brain's way of signaling our need for fluid. The body recognizes a deficiency and it responds by sending a strong urge to drink. Even more than food, our bodies need water. We need water to survive. And a healthy body is always asking for more, 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 more. It's never satisfied. It's always thirsting. Similarly, a healthy soul is always asking for more of God. It recognizes it can only be satisfied in God. But prior to heavenly glory, such soul satisfaction never reaches perfection. It doesn't here and now, here in the wilderness of this world. We have not arrived. We, like Paul, have not reached the end. And so we crave for more. We are restless for more of God. And that intense desire drives us to earnestly pursue God. If you look at your life and you do not see an earnest pursuit of God, here's the reason why. You lack desire for God. You lack soul thirst. And the reality is that all of us are lacking when it comes to this longing for God. We are, as C.S. Lewis says, far too easily pleased, far too easily satisfied, far too quick to put up our feet as if we've arrived. So how do we grow in this Godward desire? How do we pursue cultivating soul thirst, this desperate, restless longing after God? That's the second lesson that David teaches us here. Intense desire for God derives from the knowledge of God. Derives from the knowledge of God. It's David's knowledge of God and his past experience of communion with God that is leading him to presently long. See that beginning in verse 2. He speaks of this past experience. So I have looked upon you in the sanctuary, beholding your power and glory. Because your steadfast love is better than life, my lips will praise you. David is a man who is intimately acquainted with the power, the glory, the steadfast love of his God. David knows God to such a degree that he says that God is better than life itself. He knows God intimately. That's why he begins the psalm by saying, "Oh God, you are my God." That word "my" is packed with riches and significance. This is a man who knows God. He has an experiential knowledge of God, and that knowledge of God is making him thirsty. It's making him thirsty. Here's the irony. The more you know God, the more you will desire to know God. Those who know God best restlessly yearn for God the most. Let me just give you one example of this from David Brainerd. He was a missionary to the Native Americans around the time of Jonathan Edwards. Edwards published his diary. And out of all the volumes of things that Edwards published, nothing sold more copies than his publication of David Brainerd's diary, because it is so powerful and moving. And here's one entry of David Brainerd. It's an ordinary day in the life of Brainerd. "Of late, God has been pleased to keep my soul hungry almost continually, so that I have been filled with a kind of pleasing pain. When I really enjoy God, I feel desires of Him the more ravenous, and my thirstings after holiness more unquenchable." Does that resonate with you at all? The enjoyment of God led to a greater desire for God, what Brainerd calls here a kind of pleasing pain. Kind of pleasing pain. I think that's a wonderful description of what's happening to David here. His soul is pained with longing, but this is a pain resulting from pleasure. It's a pain resulting from pleasure in God. David knows God intimately, and the sweetness of that fellowship has caused his soul to crave for more. This is the way of growing in desire for the Lord. You must know Him. David came to a deeper knowledge of God in the sanctuary. And if we would know God increasingly, so that we might desire God increasingly, so that we might seek Him earnestly, we cannot neglect the place where His glory dwells, the church. We can't be inattentive to the public means of grace. We can't be inactive in the church's fellowship and service. We can't be prayerless in these things. We need to be engaging ourselves where God delights to reveal Himself and open Himself up to us. Where God is, we need to be, because we need to know Him. The pursuit of God begins with a sight of God that leaves us longing for more. The reality is that all of us here are longing. Not a single one of us is without soul thirst tonight. The question is not whether or not you are thirsty. The question is where you are turning to satisfy your thirst. We were created for perfect communion with God, and our souls will never be satisfied apart from that. But in our sin, we seek to satisfy our thirst in so many other things besides God. God offers Himself. He offers Himself as an inexhaustible fount of living water, but we prefer to sip on a bottle of motor oil, or perhaps worse than that, a 2-liter of Mountain Dew. It appears to quench our thirst for a time, but it's actually killing us. It's killing us. The reason we don't thirst for God like we ought is because we are so quick to turn to so many deadly alternatives. God substitutes, idols. What is your God substitute? What is it that you are quick to turn to when you are seeking soul satisfaction, when you are seeking comfort, when you are seeking life, when you are seeking a sense of purpose and identity? What is it, friends? Is it entertainment? Is it money? Is it the sexually explicit? Is it your own beauty or physical health or a romantic relationship or human achievement? We have God substitutes. See, our longing never left, But our longing is misdirected, and it is misdirected because we are deficient, all of us here, to one degree or another, deficient in the knowledge of God. It's only when God wakes us up to His glory, and He does this initially in regeneration, when He opens the eyes of our minds to behold the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ, and we see glory for the first time. It's only when that happens, when we taste Him, that we are led to cast away our carbonated high fructose corn syrup and seek for the living waters of our God. That's the only way that it happens. And we begin to pant after God because we've seen Him and we want more of Him. And as we pant after Him, then we pursue Him. And here's the wonderful thing. Those who pursue Him find Him. They always find Him. And that's the final lesson that we need to see here in our text. Intense desire for God leads to satisfaction in God. David is absolutely confident of this. His profound soul thirst is leading him to seek earnestly for God, and he knows this passionate pursuit is not going to leave him empty. It's not going to leave him dry. Look at verse 5. My soul will be satisfied. He's looking to the future. My soul will be satisfied as with fat and rich food. And my mouth will praise you with joyful lips when I remember you upon my bed and meditate on you in the watches of the night. The imagery switches here slightly from soul thirst to soul hunger. David is pursuing a soul feast. He's pursuing a soul feast, hankering after God. And he's absolutely certain that as he seeks God, remembering Him, meditating upon Him through the night, putting Him ever before him, that his soul will be stuffed full with the riches of God's glory, satisfied. He's clinging to God for this. You see that in verse 8. My soul clings to you. He's got confidence. He's not going to let God go. This is what a healthy Christian does. This is the healthy Christian life in the wilderness of this world. True faith knows, as we're told in Hebrews 11:6, it knows that God is the rewarder of who? He's the rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. And what's the greatest reward that God could give? The greatest reward that God can give is Himself. And so God rewards diligent seekers by giving Himself to them. David is believing this. He's experienced this already, and he is trusting that God will continue to satisfy him as he seeks Him earnestly. That satisfaction is never perfect in this life. Our beholding in the wilderness is always through a glass dimly. Prior to glory, we're never entirely rid of our Mountain Dew and our Twinkies, and that leads us to restlessness. We want to be done. We want to be done with our junk food. Don't you want to be done with your junk food? We do. We want our souls to be entirely satisfied in God. We want to see Him in all of His glory and enjoy Him perfectly. But in this life, we never reach that. That is why we're always pursuing. That's why we're always pressing forward. That's why we're always desiring. And the more that we desire, the more that we pursue, the more satisfaction our souls will experience. And the less inclined we'll be towards junk. By God's design, there's a wonderful circularity here. You know, if you've thought about that, there's actually a little picture there in your handouts on the back of the bulletin. Here's what is happening to David. Here's what always happens where there's healthy, vital religion in the soul. God gives us a taste of communion with Himself. We come to know Him. And that causes us to long for more. As we long for more, we seek to fulfill that longing, and we seek after God. And as we seek Him, we find Him. And what happens when we find Him? We come to know Him more. And as we come to know Him more, guess what? We begin to long for Him more. And as we long for Him more, what happens? We begin to seek Him more. And as we seek Him more, we find Him more. And on and on and on it goes until glory. Until glory. Healthy Christianity. That's what the healthy soul looks like. Similar to what a healthy body looks like. If my body was not sending me strong urges to drink throughout the day, so that I wasn't going and seeking after water, you would tell me, there's something wrong with you, man. You got to go to the doctor. You got to figure this out. What does a healthy body do? Well, it tastes the refreshing streams of water. It's satisfied by that water. And then it begins to long. It begins to crave for more. It begins to thirst. And that thirst leads us then to go and find more water. And when we find it, what do we do with it? We drink it. It's just what you do if you have a healthy body. And it's what you do if you have a healthy soul. It's what you do. I want to encourage you to do something this week. Find 15 to 20 minutes this week. Instead of watching Netflix, instead of looking at your Facebook, instead of reading CNN or whatever you do in your free time, take 15 to 20 minutes and pray this psalm. Pray it. Okay, this is a prayer, so it's pretty simple. You don't have to change a bunch of words or anything like that. But just start working your way through it. And as you do, really grapple with each one of these words. And if you come to a phrase that you just can't say in truth, tell the Lord. And ask Him to change you. It might be the very first verse you might come to my God. And you might say, God, I don't know if I can say that. I don't know if You really are my God. I don't know if I know You in that way. But I'm here. And would you show Yourself to me? And would You make me be able to say that in truth? Maybe you come to the next part. This is the part that I particularly struggled with this week. Earnestly, I seek You. I just told the Lord, I said, God, I don't know that I've ever done that. Earnestly? What does that even mean? To earnestly seek for God? Like, with my whole heart's just going after God because I must have God. And so maybe you come to that part and you say, God, I can't actually say that in truth, but I want to be able to. Would you work that in me? Would You teach me that? Would You draw me into that? If this is what a healthy soul does, I want it. So would You give me the Spirit? Would You cause me to know You so that I long for You, so that I'm seeking You in this way? Pray through this psalm. And what you can pray in truth, pray. And what you can't pray in truth, confess and repent and ask God to change you. Ask God for a holy discontentment. He loves to give it. He loves to give it. If you study any of the great men of old, what marked every single one of them, they had different temperaments, different personalities, different cultures and backgrounds and education and all the rest. But this is what marked every single one of them. They had a hankering after God. They were after God. And that's what we need, friends. That's what we need. And that's what we have the privilege of wrestling with over the upcoming number of weeks as we learn from the psalmist, a number of different men who all had this same restlessness of soul, a Godward restlessness. Let's pray and be asking God over these weeks to work such a restlessness in us. Let's pray. Oh Lord God, we want to have healthy souls. We want to have souls that know you, that taste you, that delight in you, and that delighting in you long to know you more and thus earnestly seek after you. God, we confess that so much of this psalm we, when we look at our own experience, do not understand. Even David's faith that his soul will be satisfied as with fat and rich food. Give us faith like that, God, so that when we come before you, we're not coming thinking, oh, maybe God will satisfy. We're coming confident that you are the rewarder of those who diligently seek you. Make us diligent seekers because we are intense desirers. Help us in these things, oh God. And please use this sermon series in all of our hearts in profound ways. Lord God, please, for your glory and name's sake, we ask. In Jesus' name, amen.